Hey there! It is 12 noon on Monday, July 13th, 2026. You're watching the Q&A episode for Monday for Deprogram with Ted Rall and Jamarl Thomas. Seated on the left side of your screen is producer Robbie West. Jamarl Thomas will be with us presently, and we're just waiting for him to come on. I guess it's late Monday for JT. He was late to the main show, too.
He's on with Professor Mirandi right now, so he may have forgotten about us.
You think?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, they are in full-on conversation mode right now. So,
what time did they start?
An hour ago.
Oh, he said need a few. Okay, here we go. Need a few minutes. My guest got in late. I'll just say, okay, we're live.
Yeah. He is in a war zone, so it's understandable.
Oh, Warzone. Oh, so sad. I do know a little bit about that. No, but seriously.
You do?
A little bit. Anyway, all right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. So for people who are new to the show or to the Q&A segment, the way this works is that if you have a question for Jamarl Thomas or myself, I'm Ted Rall, or Robbie West, that's him on the other side of the screen, or all three of us or two of us or whatever, you just want to have a comment, just put it into the live chat if you're watching live in the 12 o'clock hour on Rumble or YouTube, Eastern time, that is. And Robbie will put the question up, and then I'll read them, and we'll answer them. Priority by necessity, by financial and capitalistic necessity, goes to the Rumble rants and YouTube super chats. I'm trying to think what else I got to say. The show is normally here Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern time. Don't miss that. Don't forget about the TMI show. One call to action we're going to get to a little later. I'm going to wait for people to trickle into the show. But we're going to be asking people to help out Robbie. It doesn't even require money, although money is always appreciated. But I'm going to need you to sort of, you know, click something and just Robbie will be better at explaining it than I will.
Yeah. It's not an OnlyFans link. So now that's safe.
That's me. The OnlyFans will be for me. I know that's been that request. If you do want to see me topless on the show, you will have to put me up $5,000. So as an individual, no group financing it, like, you know, 1,000 from Epstein, 1,000 from Marsha Clark, not like that. Like, you know, it's got to be $5,000 from one person. All right. So I'm trying to think what else is going on. So while JT...
I thought you were a communist. Why are you opposed to a communal topless fund?
Because the revolution hasn't come yet, Robbie. So until the revolution comes, we live under capitalism. When the revolution is here, we will do communal. OnlyFans would be free under communism.
Would it?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, sex is a very important. Sex and pornography are very important. Necessary functions of a free society, and everybody's got to be able to, you know.
What's more important, sex or having children?
Well, you can't do one. You can't do the second one without the first one for the most
correct.
Part.
But you can.
For the most part, no, you can. But I mean, it's like not generally.
I mean, no. Birth control is a thing. Abortion is a thing. So, I mean, you are able to have sex and not have to worry about procreation.
Well, I think they're equally important. And here's why, right? I mean, first of all, most sex is not for procreation because that's not the way we're wired. Even if you're married and you're not on birth control, most sex you have will likely not result in a child. Even if you're 19 or whatever, probably not going to happen. So, what are we, you know, I mean, so, I mean, but it's important for bonding, you know, I mean, it's kind of like if you have a terrible relationship, but the sex is solid, that relationship can go on. But if you have everything going great, you get along great, you don't argue, you're friends, you have fun together, but you don't have sex, your marriage is likely going to fail.
Meanwhile, we have sex a lot. So we have a good, strong marriage, which is a nice thing to have. I've realized that this is probably more of a TMI topic. However, while we are waiting for the other co-host to make an appearance, y'all are stuck with me.
And we do have chats. So we have some questions. So we can start with those. All right. Okay. A neg in these trying times for any. Do you think Trump's four-week estimate for our oil reserves was accurate, or do we have more time? Well, I mean, it's impossible to say, but I don't think we have a lot of time. I mean, the fact is that, you know, we have just on time delivery on everything, and oil seems to be one of those marketplaces too. I mean, we already have oil shortages starting to occur in Britain. Already Southeast Asia has already had quite some serious problems. So we basically don't have, I think we're running low. Right now, both, you know, the U.S. and Iran are fighting over the Strait of Hormuz. Trump posted, I guess this morning, this another of his insane truth socials. This one says that the United States is now officially in charge of the Strait of Hormuz and is charging a 20% toll to anyone who wants to pass through. So first of all, this is obviously just a troll to the Iranians, right? But the thing is that even if this were true, this would jack up the price of international oil, a 20% toll imposed by anyone, right? Now, the U.S. can't control the Strait of Hormuz. Even if the U.S. invades Karg Island, even if the U.S. invades Iran along the border of along the Strait of Hormuz, it's not going to control it. The Iranians have missiles that will reach the Strait of Hormuz from anywhere in the country. So unless you want to occupy the entire nation, you're not going to be able to prevent Iran from hitting things that pass through the Strait of Hormuz with, you know, with missiles and drones. So there is no way to pry Iran's claws off the Strait. So, you know, I don't know why the U.S. seems to think that they can bluff Iran. Iran knows this better than anyone. So, you know, they're not stupid. It's mysterious.
Well, the thing for me that's the dumbest part of it, honestly, is, for example, Ted, you know history. When World War II in Europe kicked off, do you know how many men the German army used to occupy half of Poland? Because the eastern half of Poland was occupied by the Soviet Union.
Correct.
Do you know how many men, and Poland's a much smaller country than Iran, how many men the Germans needed to occupy one half of Poland?
I actually don't know the number, but I'm sure.
Over a million. Over a million men. Mm-hmm. So the United States doesn't have a million men.
The United States, we have 200,000 men under arms. And
if you're going to occupy Karg Island, for one thing, how would you get there? Because it's a very small waterway. Where are you going to get the men to occupy the island? Then how are you going to support
it by air, right? You could come in and, you know, with suppressive fire. Here's the thing. The U.S., we can take anything. We just can't hold anything.
I don't think we could take it.
Seriously. Think we could take it. We just wouldn't have it for very long.
I think that the Iranians would turn to a crater. I mean, it would be a graveyard. It would be analogous. You know, in World War II, you had the Tokyo Express. For whatever reason, the Japanese high command just had to hold on the Guadalcanal, and it drove them to a war of attrition, which is the one thing Yamamoto said you must never do, which, of course, they did it. And the U.S. is more than happy to allow the Japanese for a year using the Tokyo Express just run resources, men, material, and fuel on a doomed campaign. That's what the Iranians would do for us. You're welcome to go there, but you'll never leave.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I'm admiring Trent's handiwork on the T-shirts in the Telegram.
They look good, don't they?
Looks so good. Oh, my God. So yeah, we have some merch coming up soon, but we're not ready to announce it yet. I guess tomorrow probably we'll have a meeting after the show, talk about this stuff. There's no way we can occupy Iran. There's no way. I mean, yeah, it's like, forget it. Right. I mean, Iran pre-won this war. When you're a student of history, Robbie, as we know, like, when you can't win, don't fight. There's no point. John Park has a question. The country's $40 trillion in the can. True. I was wondering how severe it is because we always hear about it in the media, but never understood in depth or how it will affect us in the future. It's a great question. Deficit hawks always say, like, they make the comparison with a business or with a family, and they say, look, you can't just keep spending your, you know, deficit spending forever. Eventually, the whole system will break. the people who hold the debt, like Chinese treasury bond and treasury note holders and other people like that, will eventually call it in and the whole thing will come crashing down. Now, that may or may not be true. The problem with whether the debt is an issue or not is, I mean, on the one hand, we're a reserve currency. We can mint money like pretty much close to forever. But this is one of those things like you will not know that you went too far until you went after you went too far. It'll be like at some point we pass $72 trillion and it's like, that was the magic number. The country went bankrupt, tits up, financial crisis, we were fucked. But we won't know it until we do it. So it's this very strange thing. It's kind of like, how do you know? So there's in Calvin and Hobbes, the comic strip, one of the recurring things is how the son is always asking the father, you know, questions that he can or cannot answer. One time he says, Dad, they drive over a bridge that says capacity, 20,000 pounds. It's like, Dad, how do they know how many pounds the bridge can hold? And the father says, they do is they keep driving heavier and heavier trucks across it. And when the truck finally, and when the bridge collapses, they rebuild the bridge just the way it was. And that's how they know. And then the mother's like, if you don't know the answer, don't just make it up. So the point is, but that is kind of like how the deficit is. You just keep raising it and raising it and raising it. And once the economy collapses, you'll know that you went too far. Right now, you haven't gone too far.
Yeah. I think what it is that when other countries realize that they would be better off selling the stuff that they make to other countries that make things or trade the countries that make things as opposed to the United States, which makes nothing and we only export war. Once they figure that out, then we're done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's true. And also there's other wild cards, right? Like there could be an international financial crisis that could drag down the United States with it. There could also be, the BRICS could get their shit together and there could be a unified currency. The EU could pull together tighter as a monetary union than they are now. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, a lot of sharks in the water. Darkworks88 is asking, why do the democratic socialists always mix pro-worker ideas with liberal policies like trannies in women's bathrooms and pro-mass migration? How does that help American workers? Well, so the answer to that question is, the first half of the term democratic socialist, democratic. So democratic socialists did not originate as like socialists who are a subset of the Democratic Party. It originated as sort of this Scandinavian model of socialism with a high degree of capitalism. But now here in the United States, the democratic socialists that we have like AOC and Bernie, they all work and run within the Democratic Party. So effectively, democratic socialists are a subsidiary of the Democratic Party. And so obviously they know that socialistic pro-worker ideas are important, but because they're running as Democrats, they also want to appeal to the liberals in the party who are into identity politics. And that's what's going on there. I'm not saying that it's a strategy that I approve of, but it's the one, but that's the answer to the question.
It's a dumb strategy.
Pollux, question for Robbie, since you didn't like the Hell Let Loose game. How about Warhammer? The campaign is pretty good.
So about Warhammer, our friend of the show, John D. Cockefeller, I love that guy. He actually gifted me Warhammer last night on Steam. So you are going to be seeing me and him and two other lucky humans playing Warhammer. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. Sam Palmisano, thanks very much for the $10. What would y'all do to prepare for a Great Depression-type crash in the market and Dust Bowl conditions? To bug in or to bug out?
For me, I'm bugging in and I have a lot of bartered goods. So that's one of the things I'm working on, a lot of bullets because, you know, people need to hunt and they got to do other things. Mr. Lee wants to know what game? Warhammer and toilet paper commodities. I mean, toothpaste. It's the small things that you actually need, extra clothes. Those are the things that you're able to do if you bug in, that you're able to hold on to, that you're able to barter for things that you don't have, plus the stuff that you're able to use to survive when crap goes sideways.
Okay, so I guess in my case, I mean, I'm more prepared for bugging out. I have my French passport that Robbie approves of so much, so I can head for the border and get out. That assumption, of course, is based on the idea that it's not the entire world that's going down. In which case, then the bug in approach is basically, you know, live off the land as best you can. I don't think, for me, hoarding supplies is really where it's at. I think that, you know, having seen societies in collapse, like places like Afghanistan and the tribal areas of Pakistan and places like that, what tends to happen is that basically people get by their wits, and they use whatever skills they are. And basically, it's kind of like one of those, I'll know it when I see it in terms of what I need to do to survive, if assuming I can find something to do in order to survive. I think I'll figure it out. I mean, it's, you know, money might stop circulating, but there's always barter. There's always things you can do. And the good thing about that kind of collapse is, generally speaking, the bank is no longer that interested in coming to collect your rent or your mortgage. Generally, you are left alone, when these things happen, and the state is not up your ass. So it's basically, you know, things tend to become really local really fast.
Well, the state wouldn't even exist in that situation. I mean, there'd be a total collapse of authority.
Yeah, I mean, what tends to happen is that the state becomes just a shadow. Like, there's a state, you just never see them or hear from them. And they don't, you know, they're operating out of some office, you know, far away, and you don't see their the agents of the state. What's up with JT? Where is he?
He saw him with Professor Morandi. So it looks like it'll just be the Ted and Robbie. This is why you need a producer.
That's true. It's true. I mean, I can talk on my own, but holy cow. All right. Okay. MC Calling. Thanks for the comment. In 2025, the U.S. exported an average of 10.7 billion barrels a day. Sorry, million barrels a day, obviously. And imported 7.9 billion barrels a day. That means the U.S. sent out a net surplus of roughly 2.8 million barrels per day to the global market. Okay, so that's true. We have a surplus. But the part that we don't want to forget is that there's different kinds of oil. And that, like, the kind of not all oil is interchangeable. So if you don't have the kind that a certain industry needs, you have to get it from somewhere else.
Well, also, the United States hasn't built a new refinery since the Reagan administration.
Yeah, we export a lot of our oil to be refined elsewhere. So, yeah, that's something we could and should do, obviously. Ex-Album Knights of Malta. Now, don't ask where JT is. I see he's still alive. We're with Dr. Mohamed Morandi. Okay, that's good to know. Yeah. Anna, question. What are your thoughts on a third party or independent candidate running in 2028 to break the current issues we're facing? Some talks going around about this idea. Well, I mean, certainly there will be a the Green Party and the Libertarian parties will certainly, have candidates. Hey, JT.
I apologize. You have my apologies.
It's like, good to see you.
I didn't get in until 30 minutes late. We're supposed to do the interview at 11. They didn't get here. He had another issue or an emergency that pushed his visit to like 11:30, 11:45. You have my apologies.
Well, he is in a war zone. So, I mean, we can cut him some slack.
That is true.
Which war zone is he in? Lebanon?
Iran.
Iran. Okay.
He's in Tehran.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is in a war zone. So, but he's eating good food because Iran has good food. I was surprised.
Well, Trump has reinstated the blockade, so.
Yeah. Oh, right.
There's that.
Yeah.
Asshole. Yeah, he's also declared a 20% tariff on all shipping coming out of the Persian Gulf. And he's also declared the Strait of Hormuz open. He seems to forget there's this big country there called Iran that has a vote.
You can look at the shipping data. It's closed. Like, it's astonishing that, and then CENTCOM goes along with it. Like yesterday, when the U.S. bases got hit, and they hit a HIMARS, apparently. They hit a Patriot system. They were basically hitting targets, military targets. One of the targets, apparently, was, I think it was a HIMARS system. Initially, it was reported that three Americans were killed, dozens were injured, and, of course, CENTCOM is like, everybody is accounted for. Okay, well, what does that mean? They're trying to basically say, no, this didn't happen, this didn't happen. As much as Trump...
This is what we live in now.
It's like Mitch McConnell.
Just when I was blind!
Right.
By the way, right. I don't know if this is true or not. God, I don't know if anything's true, right? I know I don't believe that Mitch McConnell is okay. But some people are saying that photo is like actually from 2023.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I could believe it if it is.
Me too.
Yeah. I could believe that, which is sad.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Here's the part that's really sad. Not only are they liars, but they're incompetent liars. I mean, surely Aileen Chow would have a picture of her with her husband that had not been put on the internet before. You know what I mean? Like you could re-release that, although you'd have to scrub the metadata because cyber sleuths are smart.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, imagine this is where we are today, where credibility is non-existent. What's true becomes very difficult. Imagine when those AI videos and those AI pictures become indistinguishable from real life.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're like 5 seconds away from that right now. Indiana had a question I was just starting to answer, and I'm glad you're here, I'm sure you have thoughts on. So questions, what are our thoughts on a third party or independent candidate running in 2028 to break the current issues we're facing? I mean, obviously, I was saying the Greens and the Libertarians will have candidates. They always do. And there may be others. There might be some rich person trying to do a Ross Perot-like independent campaign, although that's a tough climb always. I mean, look, the Democratic and Republican parties suck ass. So it would be great to have another option. But, you know, obviously the cards are stacked against them.
Yeah. I would argue that that's your only path out. Meaning that
for this
hard path. Well, the reason why I say that is anybody who ever holds power is there as a power base. Meaning anybody that has a position of power, there's a power base under them that allows them to maintain a position of power. Meaning even if they're the figurehead of it, there's something below it that allows it. The Democratic Party and Republican Party has been able to find constituencies that allow them a power base. And they've set, let's say, a list of items that they've been associated with in order to basically lock up the political system to make it look as if there's an argument, even though not much ever really gets accomplished, regardless of who wins. There needs to be something to break that. And there needs to be something that splits into the main issues that they talk about and don't do anything about, but true believers to do it. Meaning the people who would cut across and says, yeah, we're fine with immigration, basically going after the immigration issue. We're fine with going after healthcare issue. We're fine with going after social security issue. Meaning when you get this kind of weird blend of left and right issues that doesn't necessarily leave everyone happy, but at the very least are issues that both sides would agree upon that needs to get done that splits the difference between the two parties. Actually, I believe Trump could have done that. I mean, when Trump ran in 2016, he wasn't really beholden to anybody like that. Trump could have easily split the base. Trump could have been the God Emperor that he calls himself, and he would have been able to get elements of the left and elements of the right. He's going after immigration, but at the same token, he's like, I'm going to give no tax on tips. Okay, that's a lefty issue, right? No wars. So I'm really going to earnestly not get involved in these foreign policy escapades. He could have split the difference. He just didn't do it. He wasn't that guy. But if it was somebody that was, that would be an interesting run.
Yeah, no, I totally agreed. I mean, just for the record here, I haven't voted for a major party presidential candidate since 2008. And I shouldn't have voted for Obama, but yeah. I did. Yeah.
Well, we all got taken in by Obama. It's like, oh my God, Black
it
Jesus.
It did happen. Yeah. Yeah. I was skeptical because he had not run as the progressive in the primaries. That was John Edwards. But anyway, you know, we all make mistakes.
John Edwards had his own issues.
He did, although you know it's kind of a lie, right? Like that he cheated on his wife.
Well,
she was dying, and she was like,
yes.
"I know you have needs," and so she kind of like she set up the whole thing with the other lady and said like, "Hey, would you? I know you find my husband attractive. I know you think she's cute. Why don't you guys get together and service each other?" And then it all came out like later, and they had to pretend like they had to front like, "Oh my God, my husband cheated on me," because like that was expected. The same thing happened with Governor Jim McGreevy of New Jersey. Like they were having their Saturday night specials, as they called them. They were having a threesome with a male state trooper. And he was bi or whatever. And like, and basically it was all consensual and they were all good fun was had by all until somehow it leaked. And then she had to be like, "Well, how dare you? You know, like, you are gay? I had no idea, except for the very time that I watched you fuck this dude over and over, but right next to me." But like, yeah. So they were so.
I don't see the point of them even lying about it. Just own it. I don't see the difference between you're cheating on me versus we're having a threesome.
It's consensual. But
that's my point. I mean, but they're putting it out there like it's cheating. And I'm saying, what's the point in doing that? It's an is what it is thing. I don't see how cheating, quote unquote, if they're putting that out there, is better than we're just having a threesome. The threesome just seems more fun.
Yeah, they gamed it out. Look, I think that what like, you know, triads and, you know, poly people and all those people need, they need a Magic Johnson moment, you know, where they just come out and say like, "So it's like this. We, the five of us, we're all together. You know what I mean? It's like
right.
we're one fucking hot mess every night. Holy shit, the laundry, you ought to see it." That's what they got to do. And once someone does that, the spell's gonna break and it's gonna be like everyone's like, I mean, there was a guy on my paper route who was in a triad, he was in a throuple with two sisters. They were old. They were an old throuple, and they all slept together in the same beds. And it was like everyone in the neighborhood knew. Nobody cared. It's like, just make sure you cut your lawn. But like,
that's very close to incest, right? Two sisters going at it.
Yeah,
well, or they just focused on him. They never got into it together.
Well, I didn't have any conversation with him about that. I assume not, but I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a little dodgy. Like the two sisters thing, I think is a little dodgy. The Edwards thing.
The way I look at it is if two sisters are, you know, want to hang out with me, that's their deal. That's not my deal. You know, I didn't make any promises not to engage in this.
Oh, that is dodgy. That one's dodgy.
wait. You're saying that like if two hot sisters we're like, "Jamal, we want to make you the center of attention. We want you to be the bologna in our Jamal sandwich. We want it to be a BJT." You'd be like, "Be gone, strumpets."
No. I guess my issue would be, is it in threesomes?
Uh-huh.
It's not just focusing on the one guy. Oftentimes, it's everybody on everyone. Sure.
Absolutely.
So at some point, there will be sister on sister.
God, I hope so.
You hope so.
Well, I'm an only child, right? I think I talked to you about this before. Like, only children are really into incest porn because, you know, they don't know because they never had
really?
It. Yeah.
For yourself.
Because you're just sort of like, you imagine as an only child. Right, that this happens.
I'm an only child too. Maybe I'm a prude on this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm only child.
Okay, all right.
If you notice, you and I say a lot of very similar shit, and yeah. I'm beginning to think it's because we're only kids.
Only children think a lot the same. Okay, there's a.
But by the way, John Edwards, they should have just said that.
They should have. True.
It would have been accepted. As opposed to he's cheating, he's a monster.
Well, what about Mark Hillary?
He's one of the most hated people on the planet at one point.
What about Monica? Hillary knew about Monica and didn't care. And then basically, like, she knew all about it. And then she has to pretend, like, I'm very, very angry at you. Like,
well, she was angry.
Yeah, you've been a bad boy. What?
The issue was, it was exposed. Like, basically, right. You were supposed to keep your shit secret.
Right.
Have your affairs. Don't let them affect our political life. Bill Clinton fucked up.
Here's a question. In John D. Gottkeveler says, wait, JT's an only child? Let's get his stance on incest. People with siblings were mortified, but Ted made it sound like he didn't care as an only child. Well,
I care. I mean, I would take a shot. That would weird me out. It's like these two sisters
are looking at each other. And they're like, doing things with each other, you're like freaking out.
I don't know about freaking out, but it's like it would gross me out a bit. I know they're sisters. Mm-hmm. I was never into the incest porn. In fact, even when you see it and it's like stepbrother on stepsister, it's like, ugh. It's like I know where they're trying to go.
Yeah, all about it.
Yeah, I know where they're trying to go. It's just, it's too far.
I mean, of course.
Jacob married two sisters.
That doesn't make it any better, Robbie.
No, I understand that. But no, I'm serious, because you know, people will come up, you know, from the Bible Belt. I was like, oh, this is terrible. Yeah. So the Bible says marriage is between one man and one woman. However, there are examples replete throughout the Bible of men and their harems and multiple wives, that kind of thing.
And isn't it like a biblical, it's a Hebrew thing, right? That like if a guy dies, like his brother should marry the widow.
Yeah, because back then there's no welfare. So I mean, it was your responsibility was to marry marry the wife. And so the point that I'm trying to make, JT, I'm actually Team JT on this. Just be honest with it. And if some pearl clutching person from a Zionist church says, "Oh my God, this is horrible," I would refer them to the Book of Genesis. So here it is. It's right here. This is biblical. If you have a problem with it, God wrote the book, not me. I recommend that you read it. Goodbye. Mic drop, call it a day. That's how you handle it.
By the way, I don't take issue with harems. I don't even take issue with threesomes, foursomes, fivesomes. How about it? God bless.
I'm probably the only dude that's here on this panel that's never had a threesome. So it's just
I've had threesomes.
Yeah, it's just always been me and my wife. So
believe it or not, I turned one down. What? When I was younger, I turned one down because look, I was dating. I was having sex with one person, and I met another person. And my thing was to be honest with both, so I just told both what was going on. Mm-hmm. I started getting closer to the other person, mm-hmm. and when the old woman that I was, she wasn't old, but when the other woman was like, "Hey, I'm here with my lesbian friend. Would you like to come over and bring me some cigarettes?" And I was like, "I'm not driving over there to bring you cigarettes. Are you out of your mind?" "Okay, it's not about the cigarettes. I'm here with my friend. Would you like to come over for so-and-so?" And I was like, "Oh man, that would be like cheating." Now, she thought I was nuts. She was like, "What? What do you mean? You're in a relationship with another chick?" I was like, "I'm not really in a relationship, but kind of." Like, meaning it was weird, like emotionally, because I don't typically go with multiple women at once. I typically focus on one. So I gave up the reason.
Do you have regrets ever?
Slightly, yes. Especially since the other chick and I only lasted for a few years.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Yes.
I have a lot of regrets over things that I should have done in my youth.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think that when you're like, when you're having your fit, you're breathing your last, you're probably going to regret the things you didn't do more than the things that you did do.
Agreed.
Agreed. But, yeah.
All right. I was having this conversation with someone else, and I was like, you know, there's all sorts of stuff. Like when you are dying, you're going to think about the greatest of times. That, yeah, agreed.
Deep Green VO, question for Robbie. I just started playing Civ 6. Any tips as a newbie to the Civ series? I'm enjoying the game more than I thought I would.
I am the not person to ask, because last week when me and JT played, it was the first time I've ever played it. And so I have no idea what the hell I'm doing.
That question is directed to me.
Well, that question was asked before you came on. You were still on with the professor.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so you were late. So it is what it is. But no, ask JT.
We got to get Ted on this. And just have a whole Robbie, Ted, Jamal.
Ted won't do it. He's too much of a...
I could be wrong. Well, there's a meditative quality of building a civilization. My ex-wife used to enjoy just building the civilization. For me, it was about beating the game. And those are obviously two very different mindsets of playing. That's why she never used to like playing. I guess food is important. Science is important. There is certain build orders that help more than others, especially depending upon the level that you're playing. If you're playing on deity level, they will come and get you. And barbarians are not pussies in this game. They can be assholes, especially when Robbie can tell you this. When they start populating, they can come in numbers and they will come with a terrorist army to try to take your ship. So you will have to build up a sufficient military in order to deal with them. By the same token, you got to build science and those type of things depending upon the victory that you're trying to give. It's kind of it's hard to give basic advice because it depends on your Civ and what you're trying to accomplish in the Civ. But just play around with it. It's fun.
Another question for a gaming-related one. Sam Palmisano, thanks for the $20. Robbie, what's your Steam account? I'll gift you a game. I'd love to play you something. Hint, we should play Mecha Chameleon.
I am down for cool. it. And Putin Bot Gaming. Just do a search for Putin Bot Gaming. I'm the only one there. And send me a friend request. I'll accept it. And we'll go from there.
What is Mecha Chameleon, by the way? Do you know what it is, Robbie?
I have no idea, but we'll find out.
Speaking of which, so if I apologize to people who were watching the morning show and already heard this, so we'll do this a little more quickly. But a certain former CIA whistleblower who used to be a co-host of this show not only decided to kick me to the curb, but he just kicked Robbie to the curb, too, at the orders of CAA, his new lord and master. So now Robbie is shy a grand a month due to the work that he was doing for John. And so we are asking, we're launching a call to action here. Robbie is going to say, don't make it financial. What he would like you to do is go to on Rumble, Putin Bot Gaming, and pick a playlist and a long one and just let your computer run. And if you can remember to do this like every day, it's going to get him up to the metrics that he needs in order to help recoup the loss from the John bullshit.
If you just want to do it on YouTube, you can.
Sorry, go ahead.
And also, I'm on YouTube too. So if you are just Rumble averse, just click on just go to Putin Bot Gaming and just click a playlist. Just let it run. Occasionally click a like button. That way YouTube doesn't think that you're a bot. And we'll make it work.
And Rumble, Putin Bot Gaming, you can donate over there and you should do that. And so that's our little plea here. And of course, it's one pot here too. So if that's easier for you, whatever, but please at least do the streaming thing. Okay. I just saw some breaking news. I'm going to ask you guys about. So Congress is currently looks poised to pass a law. And I know Trump is likely to sign it that would make daylight savings time permanent. So the good news is that there would not be a change of clock every morning, twice a year. We wouldn't have to remember leap forward, fall back. The other good news is that it would be sunnier in the morning. But the bad news is there's been all sorts of studies that basically say that it would increase cancer rates. It would cause all sorts of problems. Would there be more accidents at night? This will kill hundreds of thousands of Americans a year. Because our circadian rhythms will be so off that we'll be fucking up. We'll have more workplace accidents. We'll get sick more. What they should do is do standard time permanently. So Congress, we have basically the correct time 6 months out of the year. Congress wants to make it 0 months out of the year because Congress can take any fucked up situation and make it worse. What do you guys think?
All Stop changing that, the time.
Why would it, I mean, why would it affect all of that? Just because of?
It's because of your circadian rhythms. We're so tied into. Basically, it's very important for human beings to wake up with the sun. And if you have excess sun, like toward the end of the day, it's bad for you. And so it fucks you up in a big way. And basically, like cancer rates, studies have shown in certain parts of the country where effectively you can see what it would look like because of the shape of the time zone and everything. Cancer rates are about 3% higher in those areas because of the daylight savings time.
Here in Montana, in the summertime, it doesn't get dark till 11 o'clock at night. So me personally, I'm all about, listen, you got to be a special kind of dumb to cut the top end off of a blanket and then sew it onto the bottom of the blanket to make the blanket longer. That's what we're doing. Let's not do that. Let's just have one time.
And let's make it standard time. You know, it's nature's time, you know.
I mean, they did that originally because of basically they didn't have lights. Right.
They thought that farmers could work later. I mean, it's stupid because farmers, I mean, it doesn't matter because farming's not like that anymore. But it was kind of like farmers were getting up in the pitch dark anyway to go work and then like working till whenever. They're used to it. They'll work whenever. Right. I mean, so it never accomplished anything.
I don't know if I have feelings one way or the other about it. I mean, I think human beings are far more durable. I mean, I guess you could look at the thing and say, okay, 3% cancer rate, fair enough. But I don't know. People live in all sorts of environments. I don't know if I feel anything about it. Like if I was in Iceland, it didn't get light until 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning. And even then it didn't get dark until like 2 in the morning. And even then it only was like this dusk, dark-esque type thing. Okay, so what? Their cancer rates are higher?
Oh, I mean, yeah. There's more accidents, and yeah, because it's dark. Because what happens is it's darker at night.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be either time. I guess I don't have any strong feelings about it one way or the other. If they want to do standard time because that's better, fair enough. If they want to do whatever this is,
experts are really clear. Like all the experts say, you really want just standard time.
Just pick one. Just standard pick one. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Arizona does it.
Why can't we? Although. It used to be very strange with Arizona where like Navajo Nation did it differently. So when you drove through there and it's huge, you know, you'd be like, oh my God, I'm in the same state, but I'm changing time zones. very weird. And it affects you when you go visit the Grand Canyon. Okay. Let's see. This is a Robbie thing. Pugs and Bubs. Robbie, did you go to school in Pensacola? I grew up in Mobile. I went to USA, University of Southern Alabama, but then escaped to New York City. You're so wickedly smart.
I did. I went through middle school in Pensacola, and then I didn't go to high school. Instead, what I did, I stuck my way into vocational school, and learned how to work on computers.
Earth, Moon, Sea, two women can't live together without almost killing each other. That's been sort of my thing as well. That's not true to you?
That two women can't live together without killing each other?
I mean, obviously they can and they do, but yeah.
I have five brothers and sisters, and I can tell you right now it was always a war.
Between sisters?
Always.
Yeah,
and just for the record, Manila is the only woman I've ever worked for as a boss that I've actually enjoyed because she's more like a tomboy. Most women, I despise working for them. If you're a woman, I apologize, but I'm telling you, women fucking suck to work for.
Manila was cool to work with.
Manila is awesome. Yeah, women are just catty.
And you know what's funny? My ex, this is too much information, but my ex used to be very... let's say jealous of other women because she was not here, right? She had no jealousy towards Manila. And it had nothing to do with Manila's looks or anything like that. Manila's obviously attractive. She was like, Manila's kind of like a tomboy. She was like from her point of view, it was, Manila wasn't a threat in that sense because all of us related more like, I don't know, we're just related as friends more than anything else or coworkers or something like that.
She's just one of the guys.
Yeah, that's the way it felt. That's the way she, that's the way she comes across when you're dealing with her, if that makes sense. I don't hope that, that's not any shade to Manila. I mean, yeah.
And, and just real quick, a couple of people ask me if I'm mad at John. The answer is no, I'm not mad at John. Listen, at the end of the day, he signed an agreement with CAA. They own him. He has no agency. He does exactly what he's told. And I told him this last on the phone, is that, no, you walked into a golden cage, you closed the door, and you threw away the key. He will do as he is told because financially he has no choice. So, no, I'm not mad at him.
Well, he had a choice, Robbie. He
I feel sorry for him.
Could have not signed that agreement.
Well, I agree, but he did. And so once you agree to put the chains on, you're no longer your own man. And that's what I told him last night. So, I mean, no, this was not John saying, okay, Robbie, I don't like the work that you're doing for me. I'm letting you go. This is CAA saying, we own you. You will do as you're told. That's why he's not posting stuff on Rumble anymore. They 2 months ago, they told me, Robbie, you can't put any more stuff on his Rumble account. He's being siloed. Yeah. I'm not mad at him. He is doing exactly as he's told to do.
So he can't put any content out short of whatever's
going on. Everything has to go through them. Everything has to go through
them. It's another C, another A agency that's doing this.
I would never have signed a deal like that. I mean, especially when your brand is, you know, this isn't Lindsay Lohan, right? This is like when your brand is independent political commentary and speaking truth to power. You can't make an agreement like that.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
What I told him last night is that, no, when CAA, when the star fades and they throw you away.
Sooner rather than later.
Let me know, and I will help you get started on Rumble again.
You're a kind man, Robbie.
Well, maybe I'm just stupid, but I mean, that's just how I see it.
Yeah, I just frankly don't trust him anymore. But. Yeah. Okay. So this is Lindsey Graham's ghost. I've come to haunt you from the great beyond. Lindsey, are you in the great bathhouse in the sky? How is it? Let's see. Oh, MC Colley, Marine, this is interesting. Marine underwaters in the London market now quote premiums between 2 and 6% of a vessel's total value as the new baseline. This translates to a massive 20 to 40 times increase. Yeah, that's the issue, right? I mean, like, Trump can only jawbone so much, but he can't jawbone money. I mean, people are sending these ships through. Some of these ships have $500 million worth of merchandise or oil on them. I mean, it's a lot. And so you think if you have $500 million going through on one vessel, you're not going to cross every T and dot every I to make sure it's 1,000% going to satisfy the Iranians and the Omanis? Like, of course you are. Otherwise,
they're not risking it. Yeah, I don't think they're risking it. I mean, I haven't seen, as I was looking through, it wasn't like ships was going through. Trump was trying to push ships to go through. Like, hey, risk it. I mean, obviously what he wants is Iran to fire at the ships.
Right.
I mean, he wants to force the issue. It's kind of like somebody makes the argument that, hey, Russia should hit a German factory in order to force a confrontation on this particular issue. How serious are they really about it? Are you really going to end the world for, let's say, Estonia or something like that? Well, they are trying to do the same thing and with ships. Hey, Saudi, push your ship through. Hey, Oman, push your ship through.
See, why would you? Why?
Well, they're not. They're not now.
You know what this is? This is a macro version of. It's like an accident that my mom got into. She's waiting to turn left across a 4-lane road. And this car coming the opposite direction stopped to let her go and waved her. My mom, being an obedient soul, went. And then the car in the far lane came in and T-boned her, right? And she's like, she was confused. She was like, but the guy waved to me. I'm like, oh, was he a police officer? Was he a traffic enforcement person? Like, no, he's a random dude, and he's only controlling his lane. It's up to you to pay attention to what the fuck you're doing, right? So this is like that. Like, Donald Trump's like, go ahead, like, you know, big tanker. It's going to be fine. Really? Are you going to pay for my tanker and its crew when the Iranians blow it up? I don't think so, right? It's like, fuck you and your Truth Social account. Ridiculous.
Pretty much.
Let's see. Question for Robbie from AN212NYC. I know you play Baldur's Gate, but have you also read the books?
Back when the first ones came out, and that book was so horrible, I got about halfway through it. And I cannot read this. But I've not read any of the new ones, if there are new ones out.
I'm reading The Big Exchange over John. Should I talk about this or not?
Someone asked me a question about the drowning that happened in Pensacola. I'll go ahead and address that real quick if you don't mind.
Okay, please.
Yeah. So basically what happened is that there was a black teenager. His name was Nolan Xavier Wells. I think Xavier is the middle name. Last name is Wells for sure. He was visiting Pensacola with some friends, and he ended up drowning. And the question for me was, do I think it was a racial thing? I don't think it was.
Well, what do you mean? He ended up drowning.
They went surrounding.
So, drown people. I mean,
basically what it was, his friends were white. They all came home. He didn't. And he drowned. He drowned at the beach. Here's the thing about Pensacola. So you have Pensacola, and then you have the barrier island, you have Perdita Key. The rip currents there are freaking wild. I've been caught in them. You have rip currents, you have undertows. If you're not familiar with swimming, if you get one of those things, it will kill the ever-living hell out of you. It will pull you under. You can't fight it. I think that probably what happened is that they're out there. He got caught in one, and he got drowned. And some race-hustling lawyers now trying to sue, trying to make it into a racial thing. Me personally, no, I don't think it's a racial component. I wasn't there, obviously. I think that he got in over his skis. He got in the water. And Florida's like Montana. You gotta treat the Gulf of Mexico with respect, just like you gotta treat Montana with respect. If you don't, it will kill you. And I think that's what happened here. And people are trying to, and the family's trying to profit off of it.
But why are they? I mean, what are they alleging?
Yeah, what's the allegation here?
Basically, they're implying that his white teenage friends drowned him and killed him.
But why would they do that if they were friends?
That's the million-dollar question. And they're trying to say, well, no, that Escambia County was somebody involved. No, listen, it doesn't have to make a lot. It doesn't have to be logical to try and just start a lawsuit and try and get the county to settle.
Well, usually the cops assume malfeasance until they can assume otherwise.
Yeah, for sure.
So what did the investigation show?
They're still under investigation. This just happened on the 4th of July. So, I mean, they're still investigating. But listen, okay. I can tell you right now, though, as someone that lived there, just swam in the Gulf and all that time and the sound and over there off at the Key, Johnson Island, Chicken Bone Beach, all these places. I mean, the rip currents are very, very real. And if you get caught in one, if you don't know how to handle it, you're going to die. It doesn't matter what color you are.
But why would I assume that there might not have been malfeasance? Like, meaning, I'm not saying that they did something or they didn't do something, but why would I assume that it was just a rip current? Like, if I can't assume that the families are insane. Like, they could be greedy or they could be grieving.
Well, the question is why would you hire a race hustling lawyer before you even buried your son to start slinging out lawsuits?
Because they may think they did something to their kid.
Well, then you have to let the investigation go through. It's kind of like what we're doing right now with Ladybug Lindsay. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know what happened to this black teenager, this football player who drowned over in the Gulf. I mean, we don't know.
Was there? I don't know that anything about this story, Robbie. I mean, is there any implication that like there was any tension between him and his friends?
Not that I've seen. Now, granted, I haven't been back to Pensacola since 2011. It was the last time I went and visited my family, and 14 years and 2,000 miles removed, but I saw a family there. So follow the news, obviously. I can't see any indication was any kind of trouble. I just think that this is just a race pimp to reach out to the families. Hey, I can help you get some money. Let's file a lawsuit. Let's just sling crap on the wall, see what sticks. And they're trying to just monetize this kid's death.
See, I think you're looking at it like the family is greedy and clasping. I don't know if that's the case. I would tell you, when somebody, well, you obviously know this, but when somebody dies, the family is usually distraught. And they're looking for reasons as to why the person died.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if it's about the race hustling thing. The guy, the lawyer may be that way, but I don't think the family
Well, I'm sure what happens is that the lawyer reached out to the families. Hey, this looks really suspicious. Let's file some lawsuits. It's kind of like a fishing expedition, right?
Yeah.
I mean, most likely the family themselves, they were thinking, oh my God, they'll hit off these white kids and they killed him. I don't think that's what happened. I think the lawyer's name was Cubs, Crumb, something like that. He's a fat, slavish pig of a man. And he'll split hell wide open when he gets there too, which would be fantastic. And I think that he reached out to the family and said, hey, I think this is what happened. We can monetize this. Let's see what we're able to do. This looks really suspicious. And is that what happened? I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know the kid. But what I can tell you, as someone that lived there in that area, I mean, if you get out there and if the sandbar breaks and you're caught out there and the rip current gets you or undertow gets you, if you are not a strong swimmer, you're going to die.
It doesn't matter if you're Michael Phelps. By the way, when they came back without him, what did they do?
They called the cops.
Okay. Okay.
That's what one would want. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, I guess it's sort of like, it's a little Chappaquiddicky kind of, right?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I mean, there's nothing you can do. I don't know if either one of y'all have ever been caught in an undertow or not.
I have, yeah.
But, I mean, you go straight down, and there is no coming up till that current dissipates. So it's like you are done. It's like the finger of God just reaches down. And if you get caught in one, you can't fight it. The water is too strong. And there's a difference between an undertow and a rip current. A rip current is the sandbar breaks, and it's like this current of water just pulls you out to the Gulf. And all you can do at that point is ride it. If you get pulled to an undertow, it actually pulls you down to the bed of the Gulf and you get disoriented. You don't know which way is up and you don't have so much air in your lungs. And unless you're able to, unless something happens, you're going to die. The Gulf of Mexico is a force of nature in and of itself.
Sure.
I get that. I accept that. I mean, but that doesn't tell me anything about what happened.
Well, no one knows. So the investigation is still ongoing. That's what I'm saying. Well,
We can let it play out. Yeah. Yep. Let's see what happens. Because you could be right. You could be totally right. You could be like, yeah, it was an accident. I had a family member that went out on a boating trip. I think it was like four guys. And I think only one came back. And obviously, all the questions in the world are going to be leveled at the one that came back. Like, what the F? Happened. You guys were in your 20s. You guys weren't football players. You're in the best of health. How on earth did you end up in a situation where only one of you get back? Yeah, it's traumatic.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not blaming the family. Me personally, I think probably what happened, again, this is pure speculation on my part. I don't know. I think the most likely what happened is that this lawyer went into the story. He's a classic ambulance chaser. He would make Al Sharpton proud. And he just reached out to the family. Hey, here's what's going on. This looks really suspicious.
If they find out that it was actually malfeasance, will you wear an Al Sharpton is awesome shirt?
No, because he's still a race pimp. But I would apologize to the family though for
Raleigh was telling told the truth T-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, Al Sharpton was out there calling the Jews in New York City diamond hustlers or something like that back in the 80s. I mean, the dude's a race pimp of the highest order. He is a fake preacher in a shark skin suit. I've got nothing but contempt for that man.
No. That was not a shark skin suit. That was a track suit. I want to be clear. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yes.
He's still scum. And I think that this lawyer's just, I think he's taking advantage of this family's grief, and it's a very buzzardy thing to do. It's ghoulish.
I don't know that, but I appreciate your point of view. No. Like, meaning I don't know anything about any of these people, right? I appreciate your point of view, but yeah. I don't know if he's scum. I don't know if he's a race baiting peddler, whatever you call.
I don't know anything
about the situation.
Look him up. I mean, anytime he is a classic ambulance chaser. This dude is a complete douchebag. I'll get his name to you. I'll send it to him. He's
an ambulance chaser.
Yeah, he's a sack of crap.
Well, all right. Well, at least we're clear.
I don't know that. I'll just be clear. I don't know. But fair enough. I appreciate it.
Drive, by the way, is saying that Al Sharpton, he believes that he read that Al Sharpton has gotten involved in this case.
Oh, has it?
Hmm. I mean, it's not that everything Al Sharpton's gotten involved in was bullshit. Far from it.
Yeah. That's what I mean. That's what I say. I accept your point of view, but I don't, that's not my point of view.
I just don't. Yeah. I will happily say, I don't know, you know. Johanna said the kids involved have already lied. All right, so yeah. Maybe something's up here, right? So.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't think just look when people are pointing to something. I don't think that they're just randomly, oh my God, they're chasing ambulances because this guy is a whatever lawyer, and the family is hurting, and the family is effectively saying, "Look, I think something is up with this particular case." I think something is not.
Think about ambulance chasers. They're not going to get a payday unless they can convince a judge and a jury that they're right. Right?
Yeah. So, and I don't think a family is randomly just.
You can't just make shit up from whole cloth, you know?
Yeah. Especially, yeah. And win a case. Yeah. Something might have been going on. And by the way, many times those people got involved in cases like that because those cases weren't being dealt with. Meaning, you say he's a, quote, black ambulance chaser, whatever the hell you call them. But the reality of it is many of those cases weren't being dealt with in a criminal justice system. People would go missing. People would get hurt. They would just toss them. Those people got involved in order to draw attention to many of the cases. So, I don't
– And it might be – like in the same way that RFK Jr. was an environmental lawyer – and made millions of dollars and became rich as an environmental lawyer, but he was also suing people who were genuinely polluters.
Yeah. Yeah. You can say he's a polluter chaser, but they were actually polluting. Right. So.
All right. With that, we will wrap it up. We're a couple minutes over. Thanks everyone for joining us here on the Q&A edition of the of Deep Program with Ted Rawl and Jamarl Thomas. The show will be back tomorrow morning at its regular time, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Q&A again on Wednesday, 12 noon.
Putin Bike Gaming, don't forget.
Pardon?
Don't forget to go to Putin Bike Gaming.
Oh, yes, please go on Rumble to Putin Bike Gaming. If you can't go on Rumble, go on YouTube. Rumble is preferred, but YouTube is acceptable. And just pick a long playlist and let it run and leave your computer and go out and enjoy your day.
Yep, and we will be rating over to TMI now. We got that premium episode now with a fertility doctor talking about the looming fertility crisis.
This is super interesting, guys. Seriously. I mean, I'm not just saying that. Like, you will not regret watching this. It blew me away.
And what is it, a fertility doctor? What's the...
Yeah, she kind of wrote one of the books on the fertility crisis. And basically...
Oh, you mean the low sperm counts.
Yeah, yeah. And basically, the highlight is... every animal, not just human beings, we're seeing our fertility drop off a cliff on average of about 1% per year over the last 50 years. So in other words, if this trend were to continue for 100 years, we'd all be dead. It's basically a response to the it's environmental contamination. Yeah. I mean, and it's not obviously just fertility. We're all, we're being poisoned. This is just one symptom. And it is, I mean, she's great. She's a little bit like Dr. Ruth Westheimer. And so really very worth listening to.
Yeah, that's terrifying. It will take me a couple of minutes because we're right over. And it'll take a couple of minutes. So I have to log out of a Deep Program and then log back into TMI and then grab the episode, start the stream. So just hang out and you'll see.
Jamarl, if you can hang out, we've got other producer Trent waiting. We have a little meeting to have to talk about the merch. We'll have news for the rest of you guys about the merch. So far, so looking so good. And so, all right, go do your thing, Robbie. Yeah. JT and Trent and I will hang out and talk to Trent. Bye all.
That's terrifying, by the way. The
it's absolutely terrifying.
But it makes sense. I used to be a software engineer, and all the shit that could go wrong just in a software program, just for small additions. Like you make one small addition, and then something breaks somewhere else, and you're like, what the F is wrong with this program? And it's because some little piece of code is whittling away that you just forgot all about and paid no attention to is now breaking all your code. Okay, what does it look like with the human body? And think of all the shit we're putting into our environment.
Degrading.
Yep, for sure.